Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. The message today is called, But God. I picked a lot of scripture for us. The first one, of course, you'll recognize from Psalms. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And then I've picked Ephesians, the second chapter, and there's one verse I want to pick up on. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, verse 5, made us alive together with Christ. You know, in preaching the gospel, it is important to acknowledge that it is bad news before it is good news. You know that question, what do you want to hear first, the good news or the bad news? Well, according to Paul, you need to hear the bad news first, the truth about sin. We were all sinners, evil, broken, arrogant, and lost. Left to our own devices, we would probably destroy each other and ourselves. But, and here's the good news, God loves us. God, who is rich in mercy, loves us out of his great love, even when we were dead through our trespasses. We are all sinners. We are lost. We can't do anything on our own. But God can. This section of Paul's letter to the Ephesians is called From Death to Life. And that is the spiritual route this group of believers went through when they followed Jesus. It is what happens when we give our lives to Christ. The bad news is that without God, we are in a dismal, dire state, out of harmony, out of sync, not only with each other, but most importantly, we are alienated from the source of life, the life of God, dead. This is the state that is caused by what the Bible defines as sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We can thank God today that we have been given life. We've been saved, sanctified, and delivered. You may ask, well, if we are saved, sanctified, and delivered, then why do we still sin? I'm glad you asked. This walk, this sanctification and deliverance are part of a process. One part of the process is on us. The bigger part of the process, however, is on God. Unbelievers following the sordid way of the world are dead through lives of sin. Believers who still sin might be in that same predicament as well, except for the intervention of God through Jesus Christ. An easier way of saying that is we might be lost altogether, but God. But God, the best part of the good news, what separates believers from unbelievers, but God. Now let's talk a little bit about that phrase, but. As you may or may not remember from your school days, but is called a coordinating conjunction. It brings two distinct thoughts together. There are many such conjunctions in grammar. There's and, there's yet, there's for, so. They're all little words, less than four letters. Those two distinct thoughts could go on without most of those conjunctions, especially and. I attend Roxbury Presbyterian Church, and it is located at 328 Warren Street. I don't have a car, and I ride the bus. But when you put the but in the sentence, something different happens, you see. The and, you can toss it out, you can use it. The but suggests a contrast that is unexpected in light of the first thought. I love school. This is all this stuff that my teachers told me and I didn't understand until I became a preacher. But signals a change, a difference, a clarification. But is so different from the other conjunctions that as a writer, you have to think carefully about the use of it. It is such a powerful little word that it draws attention to itself. I used to be a television news reporter, but. I like that dress, but. You're a good man, but. Then you add the power of God to the but, and oh my goodness, you are operating now on a totally different level. You have stopped from the natural world and stepped up to the supernatural. You were dead in sin, but God. You see, but God is the most powerful conjunction there is. It is the most powerful declaration that we can make. When God steps in, the but becomes this supernatural transition intended to change everything. You see, God steps in to interrupt, to challenge, to shift, to alter. This tiny word has boundless implications with God. But is powerful on its own. But when you add God to it, oh, it's weighed down in holiness, in perfection. It's weighed down in wrath or anger. It's lifted in grace, in love. When God is in the picture, everything becomes different. But God is a phrase that carries all the force of God, the omnipotence of God, the omniscience of God. God Almighty, it's the sovereignty of God. Everything that God is, and we only know a small bit of what God is, everything that God is tied into that but. But God, but God. When you say, but God, oh my goodness, you can't imagine the power that is brought to bear over the situation. We live in a broke down, messed up, jacked up world, but God. If you go back through the Bible, you will see how this works in beautifully intimate detail. Genesis 50:20, when Joseph was sold out and betrayed by his brothers, he told them, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." 1 Samuel 23:14. Saul was searching for David so that he could kill him, but God delivered David out of his hands. Luke 16:15. Jesus told the Pharisees, "You can justify yourselves before man, but God knows your heart." 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. Paul writes, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And so we live our lives, and we do the best we can as Christians, and we may stumble and we may fall, but God that started a good work in us will complete it to fruition. But God. The text I chose today offers believers our greatest reassurance. Paul reminds the Ephesians that they were once children of wrath, like everyone else, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Now, the fascinating thing about this statement is that it is not just about the past. It is about the future. Verse 7, in order so in the ages to come, God might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This gift, this grace of God that is in the but, is a future-leaning gift. It is directed toward the future. You know, we're often called to endure situations or illness or despair, deprivation. You may be going through some stuff right now. You know, you may be feeling like you're on your last dime, or you're going to lose your job, or the marriage is falling apart, and everything looks dire. And we wonder how long we will have to endure. Jesus has told us the one who endures to the end will be saved. And Paul says the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So whatever is happening to you right now is not the end of the story. But God. Just remember those two words, but God. There's even more mysterious part of this, but God. It's a reality that can take place right now. That is the paradox, the contradiction, the puzzle, that in the midst of darkness there can be light. In the midst of chaos there can be creativity. In the midst of sin there is great mercy and love. The news of the gospel is this. Something extraordinary can happen in the midst of your mess. Glory can burst forth in the midst of suffering. Life can happen in the midst of death. Everything turns on two words, but God makes all things possible. God is everywhere, omnipresent. The Bible assures us that He is before all things, and by Him all things exist. God can be actively present in one situation and may not reveal He's present in another. That is God's prerogative. God can be everywhere and anywhere if He wants to be. The Lord looks down from heaven, Psalms tells us. He sees all the children of man. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. I don't know how it works. I don't know how God can be all places. I don't know how God gets His power. All I know is I need the but God. Whatever I'm going through, I thought I couldn't pay my bills, but God. My doctor said the news wasn't very good, but God. My child was going down the wrong road, but God. We were sinking deep in sin, but God. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116.
And we are thrilled to extend this special invitation to join us for our Fall Revival when we proclaim These Bones Shall Live, October 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, starting at 7 p.m. at Roxbury Presbyterian Church.